Grace, how are you doing today? Good. I'm glad to see everyone here today. Thank you for joining us. I will let you know I'm a little tired this morning, a little sore for some reason. For those of us who joined us last night for our... Okay, here we go. As soon as I hear that song, I have to catch someone. For those of you who don't know, I took Glenn and spun him around last night. But for Volunteer Appreciation Night, we had a great time last night just celebrating our volunteers who serve on a regular basis. It was such a fun time. We made fools of ourselves. We had lots of laughs, and there was great food. So I'm glad people could be there today. But this is a very exciting weekend because we just had our Volunteer Appreciation last night. And then today we get to have our Vision Sunday for 2020 of looking at where we are as a church, where we've been, who we are, and where we're going. And so really today is what we call our annual business meeting. We don't vote on anything, but we update everyone on how things have been and where we're continuing to go. And also it's Vision Sunday on casting vision for the future. Now I'm going to be real honest. Over the last 2 years when I've come up for Vision Sunday, I've talked to people and said, really, where I see us going is the same path we've been on, because that's why I love Grace, is because I feel that we're following God. I feel that we're wanting to put into practice what He has called us to do. But this year will be a little different because there are some things that I see coming down the road going, we have opportunities. We have opportunities to grow as a church, but we have opportunities to grow our faith and put that faith into practice. And so I'm going to be sharing some of that with you. And over the next few months, I'm going to be letting more and more opportunities share with you where you can join and be a part of what is happening in the life of this church. But before we get there, the first thing I want to do is look back at this last year, 2019. So if you are new here, if this is your first Sunday, this is a little different Sunday. It's not kind of how we typically run things. But I'm glad you're here because you get to hear as well where we've been, who we are, and where we're going. So, first thing I'd like to do is do what I call the state of the church. And it's a 2019 review of what has happened this last year. And it's been a tremendous year this last year. We've had lots of change, we've had lots of growth, and we've seen lots of people continuing to have life change within themselves and live it out. So in the life of our community, in our community life, we have seen some really neat things. We had Discover Grace classes this last year, and we had 51 people that came out that said, I want to learn more about grace. I want to learn more about what it means to be a part of this church. And out of that, we had 46 new members sign membership saying, I agree with this. I want to be a part of it. I love this vision. Let's continue to move forward. Also, we had a great number, which I'm really excited about this number. We had baptisms this last year. We had 33 people baptized who said, I want to proclaim my love for Jesus and let the world know that I'm His. And that's an awesome thing right there. We've also had many classes. We have home groups. We have different things. One of the new ones that we did this year that just started up was something pretty exciting. A gentleman named Devin St. Cyr had come and said, I have this idea. And we said, run with it. How can we support you? And it was this idea of a school of evangelism where you learn how to share your faith with other people. And not learn how to share your faith with other people like, hey, we're going to learn every Bible verse you need to know and be able to argue all the points and look at this and have a debate with people. It was, no, we want to put what God told us to do into action. Let's go love on people. Let's take care of people. Let's be in their lives. And when we're in their lives, let's pray for them. Let's ask them how we can help. Let's be there. Let's provide for the physical and the spiritual needs. Because if you tell someone, I'm going to pray for you, but they go away hungry, what good have you done? But the same thing, if you give them food and don't give them hope for a meal that will sustain them forever, which is God, then what's the good? We need to do both. And this idea of the school of evangelism is saying, put those things into practice, love on people, but then also share your faith with them, share your testimony so they can hear it. And after they came back from the New York City trip that they went down there, people came back and said, I want to do what I was doing down there right here in our community. And so like a couple weeks later, they said, hey, January 1st, let's do something called Coats for the Cold, where we bring together people. We say, come on in. We're going to open up Grace Place. We're going to have coats, hats, mittens. We're going to have food for you, warm food, soup. Come in. Let's hang out. They prayed with people. They talked with them. They gave them warm stuff. And then that was so successful, they said, let's do it in Rochester. And so they did it in Rochester. And this is something that has been a great opportunity. They gave out over 500 items at the Coats for the Cold, which was one person in the church just saying, I went down there, and I want to do it right here. And we said, go for it. And he said, then I will. And he went and put it together and loved it. Why? Because his heart was changed. And he saw something that he goes, God worked through me, and I want to be a part of that. I want to continue work through my life. And that's how things happen. That people go, my life has changed because of Christ, and that testimony in my life, I want to go share it with others. And so for our life, that our community life, that was a great event to have the school evangelism, then the Coats of the Cold, and continue to watch as this flourishes, going, how can we continue to help others in our community? How can we continue to reach out to those who are struggling in life? We have a large missions and outreach department. In our outreach department, we had lots of big things happen this last year. We had a mission trip go down to Mexico, Oaxaca, Mexico, for the first time. And there were 13 people that went and enough money to build two homes down there. And they worked on the homes. They went to Trio and Miel, working with the children and after school program. And the relationship we formed there was so amazing. We said, we want to go back next year. And that's the group you just prayed for leaving this week. Some of them have already been. Some of them have not. Some of them know what's coming. Some of them don't. But that's a beautiful thing because we all grow together. And this mission trip to reach this community and share the love of Jesus with the people, they're embodying Tell Love Go, this idea of going out for Jesus. We had school kits for kids, which we're putting together local backpacks in the community. 375 backpacks that were given out to Spalding, the local areas, and also to Noble, because they had a need at Noble High School. And so we said, we'll help you guys as well. And so we provided backpacks for them. We had Gifts of Grace, which is our Christmas program for families that can't provide Christmas gifts a lot of times for children. We had 176 gifts for 21 different families so they could have Christmas together. So they could have presents together. So they could have this time. And then the other thing that happened at Christmas was we had our Christmas offering. And I've updated you guys on different things, but we have our final number for what our Christmas offering was. And it was $25,143. It was huge and amazing. Yes. And it was by far and away the largest Christmas Eve offering we've ever had. But it was because people sat there and went, I want to help others. I want to give back. I want to take care of those who don't have the means to take care of themselves. It's embodying the message of Jesus Christ. It's embodying what God said is, I'm coming to take care of you, and then you can continue to take care of each other as well. It's living the life that he showed us how to live. The outreach department is actually a very big department. They have 86 volunteers on a regular basis. Some of those people are on multiple teams. They do everything from doing the food pantry, community meals, helping out with different drives, reaching out to the community, all these different things that happen. Our food pantry itself is very busy. We had 360 different families that were helped through the food pantry this last year. Holiday baskets, there were 390 baskets between Christmas and Thanksgiving that were given out so those families had meals to have a holiday meal to enjoy that time together. And in fact, through our food pantry, we gave out 45,000 pounds of food this last year. Now that is an amazing number. And the reality is, none of that could happen without the people you see around. None of that could happen without that embodiment, that generosity of going, I want to help others. Now, that number, 45,000 pounds, is a huge number. In fact, last year I think we were at 36,000 pounds. So it's like a 10,000 pound jump of what it was. It was a very large jump. And so it's a huge number. So you know how much that is, just to put it into kind of a contrast. An average male elephant that's an adult elephant weighs about 12,000 pounds. So that would be 3¾ full-sized elephants worth of food. All right? Just so you know, no elephants were harmed in the making of this PowerPoint. But that is a beautiful and sad thing at the same time. That there's such a need that we needed 12,000, 6 tons of food more than last year to meet the need. But it's a beautiful thing that people are going, then let me fill that need. If that need's there, let's say yes. Let's continue to grow together. Let's continue to serve together and continue and take care of people in our community. We also have our worship team. Our worship team is a large team we have. You saw them up here. They have enthusiasm, excitement to lead us in worship. They have about 53 members. They had 5 new members this last year that joined the team. They did 160 different worship services over this last year. They also had a special event, which was in 2019, our first annual Snow Church online, because we were canceled and said, let's do it online. It's now annual because we did the exact same thing this year, the same week, because it snowed again, or at least we thought it would. So it wasn't that bad. But Allie was like, that was such a neat thing that we're in a place that even though there's weather and we can't be together, we can still be together worshiping God. We can still come together and worship, and we can still come together and learn together and follow God. So that's really exciting. Also, one of the things Allie shared with me was they had a lot of change on their team as well. They had 2 babies born, an adoption happened, a wedding happened, but they also had a lot of loss. There were a lot of people who were either in pain or struggled with different injuries or struggled with loss of loved ones in their life. And Allie had written something to her team that I wanted to share with you because I think this is a win for our church and for the worship team. She had written about all the loss they've had and experienced great pain with illness or loss of many close family members. But the beauty and grace I have seen from God is in how our team has responded to each of these tragedies. Thank you for being there for our grieving team members. Thank you for your love, encouragement, and faith. And to those who have lost a dear one this year, thank you for trusting us with your pain, grief, and emotions. I pray we continue to truly be a family to you. That right there embodies what we should be to one another. That right there is about relationships together. Going through all the good, through babies born, and adoption, and weddings, and through all the pain, we continue to be in each other's life. We continue to encourage each other, lift each other up, support each other, and love each other. Through good, through bad, through it all. As God never fails us in love, we never fail each other. And for me, that was such a beautiful thing to see, to go, that is living out our faith through good and bad. Also, our student ministries. Our student ministries, our Cafe Red program we have for after school here for Spalding High School, has over 20-plus students a week show up and continue to come and hang out and have an after-school program. Also in that program, they've added another dimension to it. They have what's called Cafe Red After Hours. Cafe Red After Hours is not like a club or a bar or something. Cafe Red After Hours is when Cafe Red's over for another half hour, they have a time where they can sit and those kids can ask any questions they want. They put them in a jar, and Matt draws them out and chats with them. Whatever that question is, if it's about being transgender, they talk about it. If it's about God, they talk about it. If it's about Buddhism, they talk about it. If it's about anything, value, worth, anything, they talk about it. And they have conversations with each other so their relationships can grow, so they can deepen. And Matt tells them and says, I'm going to share my faith with you. If you want to know what I believe, I'll tell you. I'm not going to put it on you, but I want you to know where my hope is found. And having those conversations, having that program go, there's an after-school program, but there's also a safe place where they can ask anything, and they know they won't be judged, and they know they won't be looked down upon. They know they'll just be loved in every moment. It's a wonderful thing to watch that program continue to grow and continue to reach the community, the high school community right down the road is an amazing thing. Also, we have Deep Freeze in 2019. They went to Berea. There was 8 adults and 31 students that went to a camp. They have it coming up in, I think, February 21st. Another Berea this year to go away. And it's an awesome time for them to get together, to grow. They have Dig In, which happens here between services, of exploring a deeper faith and getting into the Bible and really understanding what it means to be a Christian. And then they also have youth group, which has a gig, which is Grace Youth Group. The youth group, outings, events, and all different kinds of things that happen all year long working with crazy middle school and high schoolers together. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never worked with a middle schooler and high schooler, you do it and you go, wow, I either love it or you're like, nope, I'm out. And it's that easy, that quick. But those kids, they're looking for love. They're looking for people just to spend time with them, just to be with them. And so having this is, I think, very incredibly valuable and worthwhile to pour into these youth of today and tomorrow. Also, Grace Kids. We've had an incredible year with Grace Kids. We have Jam Camp, which is Jesus and Me, and that's a camp where the kids go away for a weekend of, they have cabins, you know, no bathrooms or anything, but they're structures they live in, and they hang out for the weekend, and they go swimming, and they have lots of fun, but they learn about Jesus. They have a relationship with Jesus. They learn about what's going on, and there's people pouring into them, and it's a great opportunity for 62 kids to spend time with 23 adults and to grow their faith together. There was also Grace Kids Summer Adventure, which had 50 adult volunteers, 40 junior volunteers, and had 180 kids attending it. That was right here. Once again, if you've never worked with 180 kids, one of two things. You're either going to love it or you're done, right? But I will tell you, this year the staff, we decided for Grace Kids Summer Adventure, we were going to be over here every morning. So instead, unless we had something we had to do, we came here, hung out with the kids, hung out with the people, encouraged, got to be a part of it, and watched that program flourish with 180 kids, learning about Jesus, having relationships with a lot of them that don't go to church here at all, but their parents bring them here because they go, we know that's what we want them to be a part of. It's an amazing thing for this next generation. And also something you guys just got to see recently, the Christmas pageant. We had 55 kids come up here, have a great time, enjoy it, share the story of Jesus' birth, share the story of Christ, but also dance like chickens on stage, and all that stuff is always perfect, right? It's been an amazing year. It's been a great year in 2019. We have had tons of people be so faithful in giving. We've had tons of people be so faithful in serving. We've had tons of people be so faithful in just loving on other people. It's the reason I love being a pastor at this church, because I love what you guys embrace. And we as a church lead with, yes. Is there a need? Yes. Let's fill it. Let's do what we can do. Wherever God opens a door, let's step through it until He tells us that door is closed. And that's something that can't happen with one or two people or a staff of eight people. It can't happen with any of that stuff. It takes an entire church to make that happen. Last night, we had our volunteer appreciation night. We had almost 150 people that were there. And those people serve regularly. Think about that. 150 people, and we have more than that, but that's how many people actually signed up to come, serve on a regular basis just to help others. That's how God can work through a community. That's how God can grow, as He says, I'm going to be the light that shines through you. I want to be at a point where all of a sudden I can say, hey, we need to rent something bigger because we have 500 people that serve on a regular basis, taking care of other people. Where are we going to fit all those? Let's do this volunteer appreciation night, and it's going to be a freaking party, right? It's huge. And last night, just so you know, if you missed out, it was a party. We had a good time. If you see pictures of me online, either scantily clothed or in an almost naked sumo suit or with a wig or carrying Pastor Glenda by my head, you missed out. We had a good time. But it was a great year, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm glad that I can share with you some of these amazing things. When you look at these numbers, when you look at all these things happening, we don't talk about this stuff a lot because we don't want to be like, look, we can boast in ourselves. No, we want to boast in Christ. But when you review these things, you go, look at all the things that happen here at this church. Look at what we get to be a part of. It is an amazing, amazing thing. And so now I get to the next part of our talk. We've talked about where we were, but now we want to talk about where we are, who we are, and how we move into the future. And so you can see right on that screen, we have this idea of Tell Love Go. It's really our mission is what we call it. Tell Love Go is our mission and how we live this life, how we live as a church. And so our mission, Tell Love Go, starts with that first part, that tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. And this idea of to tell is from the Great Commission, of what we were called to, a commission that Jesus gave us. And it said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This idea of telling people about Jesus Christ is one of our core values at this church, but it's our mission to tell others about Jesus. Now, we believe that telling others about Jesus isn't just standing out there with a megaphone and shouting it, it's living it in people's lives. Because only when you have a relationship does you telling about it really even matter at all. Because otherwise they go, who are you, right? But you have a relationship with someone, you help give clothes at Coats for the Cold, you help serve in the food pantry and you're giving them meals, you see them somewhere and you're talking to them and sharing with them, it's a co-worker or whatever, you create a relationship with someone and now your testimony starts to have an impact on them. Because they can look at you and go, God's done that for you? That hope you have, the outlook on life, that comes from God? I want a part of that. I want that in my life because I don't have it. And your testimony, telling people what God has done for you, is one of the greatest things we can do, and it's what God commissioned us to do, is to tell others about Jesus. And that also brings us to our next one, which is love God and love others. We have tell, and now we have love. Love God and love others. And this part of love is called the Great Commandment. Because at one point, someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, someone said, teacher, where's the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. These two commandments are to love. To love. And we believe at Grace that no matter what, anything you do, if you're giving food and you're helping people, or you're doing Coats for the Cold, or you're going to Mexico, or anything you do, you're serving on the worship team, if you don't do it with love, it's useless. It's like a clanging cymbal that's just making noise, not doing anything. Love is the basis of everything we do because it should be the basis of who we are. Remember, God is love. It doesn't say God loves. God is love. And if you have God in your heart and he's created a new person, a new you, that love should shine through you in every way. And trust me, we're not going to be perfect at it. I'm not perfect at it. I fail all the time at loving people perfectly because I'm not God. But it doesn't stop us from striving to be more like him every day. It doesn't stop us from striving to love people as God loves us. Loving God as he loves us. It's unconditional. Think about it. God loves you so perfectly that so while you were so messed up, like all of us have been, while I was so messed up, he said, I still love you, and I forgive you, and I have grace, and I have mercy, and I want a relationship with you. It's not you have to fix yourself first and then do it. I want it now, and let me do the work. Our relationships with each other, with others in this world, should mimic that. That we have grace, we have mercy, we have love, we have forgiveness with everyone we meet. Because that's what God has given us. Without anything back, he's just given it as a free gift. And now we get to mimic that gift to others. We get to show God's love to others by how we treat them. And the last part of Tell Love Go is go and do something for Jesus. And going and doing something for Jesus, this idea of go is really a heart of service. In 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." See, this idea of tell love, go and do something for Jesus is putting our faith into action. Putting our love into action of going and doing something. Not just saying, well, I believe it, but living it. And it's the difference from saying, I have faith, but I don't do anything with it. That's a dead faith. It's a faith that's dead if it doesn't have works. Works don't save you. Doing good things doesn't save you. But guess what? If God has saved you, if you've accepted his gift, then out of it you should be doing. We should be going. We should be telling people about Jesus. We should be loving them. It's this idea that our love should be put into action as we go out and do things for Jesus Christ. This is who we are as a church. And if this is your first time here, you're getting the, kind of the whole gamut here of where we've been, who we are, and where we're going. And for those of us who have probably heard Tell Love Go a lot of times, it is not a bad reminder ever to remember that what Jesus has done for us is what we're called to do for each other. It's how we can change our whole mindset in this world. How we can change the way we look at things. How we can change how we see other people. Are we seeing them the way our broken self sees them? Or the way a perfect God sees them? Are we loving them unconditionally as God loves? Or is it by our own standards? Tell Love Go is such a great way to live out the mission of our church and to care for others. And that brings us to the future of grace. Where we're going, where we're continuing to grow as a church. Before I kind of tell you of some upcoming things and stuff that's happened, I want to make you known, because the future of what's happening here, some staffing changes we have. Don't worry, we've still got everyone on staff, but we've had a couple additions in a couple areas. The first one is because we have Allie White, who's been our worship director for quite a few years. This last year, she had had a child, Justice, who we love dearly and get to see in the office all the time. But she wanted to have the opportunity to still lead this department, lead worship, but also spend time with Justice, and she wanted to find that balance. So she has cut back to part-time, and filling some of those voids that she won't have, some of the technical side, is she got an assistant that is going to help her with the worship team. And we're very excited for who this assistant is, because he is a great guy. We love him dearly. He has a beard like Jesus. It's John Lindsay. So we are loving this guy. John Lindsay, that in that picture he looks pretty old, but he's not old. John's a young guy. But we love John. He has a heart for worship. He has a heart for others. He has a heart of service. And we're excited he's going to be coming. He's going to be coming and helping Allie and be assistant to Allie as she continues to move forward with the worship team and grow it and bring us a community of worship. Because guess what? At Grace, we worship. We love to worship. We love to sing. We love to pray. We love to worship our God in heaven, because that's what we're called to do, and that's what we're created to do. The other one we have is Shireen, Shireen Painter, before she was our mission and outreach coordinator, and before she was running that whole department, she actually was leading our Tiger Cafe. She was our Tiger Cafe coordinator, and she was running Tiger Cafe. And when she came on board, she then took over all of the outreach and missions and kept going with Tiger Cafe, which has been awesome because it was all put together. But I will tell you, it was too much for one person. And she has done it with a smile most of the time, like, hee-hee. But, she's been doing great. She's done awesome. But it was to the point where going, this isn't sustainable for long term. So we have brought someone in who is going to, last year was part-time, was doing a trial run as the Tiger Cafe coordinator, and now has taken over that position, and we're very excited for Cyan Carnes to be jumping on that train and doing that. Cyan is, she's younger, she's vibrant, she's excited to serve, she has a heart for people, she loves what she does, she's excited to be there and see these kids grow, and she's also young enough that she has the energy to keep up with them, whereas I do not. So she's going to do a great job, and we're very excited about having her join on board as well to help with the Tiger Cafe and help grow that ministry. So those are a couple additions to the staff. As we're making some of those additions, part of it is because things are transitioning at Grace. And if you've been here a while, you know that this last couple years has been some transitions. Last year, in 2018, we actually stopped having services at Rochester Hill and moved our services here in Farmington. And then in 2019, we started having conversations about the possibility of selling Rochester Hill and purchasing different office space. I'm excited to let you know that as of Friday, January 31st, so 2 days ago, at 11 a.m., we officially signed over the building to New England City Blessing Church of the Indonesian church that has shared that building with us for 18 years. And it is now their building. And it was, this picture was awesome. We love this. We went in and we did all the signing together and had some pictures afterwards. What I love is that Glenn was here when Grace Community Church became Grace Community Church and has been here through all the transitions. Farmington added, this building added, now having offices there, doing different things. And he got to see a milestone and a completion of going, we're done here, but we're not done with ministry. We're done in this location, this building, but we're just going to be utilizing another one. And this is a really neat thing because this is, in my mind, kind of a historical marker in the life of our church. We're no longer at Rochester Hill. Well, that's not true. Our offices, you need to see us, we're still at Rochester Hill until we get the new offices built. But at there, it's a marker in life of history of here's what was happening, and at one point we sold that building and we moved just downtown. So Farmington is downtown. Grace Place in Farmington is downtown. We're here downtown. And our new offices, which are right next door, and we're going to be working on those, are also downtown so that we can have service here, offices there, be able to be the light of God to the community around us and let His light shine through us. I am happy to say we're looking at, in 1 week, starting renovations at that building right next door for our offices. So that's going to be a very exciting time. It's going to be a little chaotic because we'll be at offices at Rochester Hill. It'll be owned by New England City Blessing Church. We will be here. There's two other churches that share that building over there. It's a beautiful mess, and we love it. So we're really excited about it. But all these churches are just working together going, whatever, however long it takes you to do what you need to do, we're here for you, and we're here for each other. And I love that story of City Blessing Church is so neat because they have that same heart for others that we have. In fact, City Blessing Church, 18 years ago, they were driving in through Summersworth trying to look for a place to plant a church in this area. And the pastor was asked to plant a church from over in Indonesia. So he was driving, and they drove by our building. And he's like, something about that one's calling to me. And so they came in and talked to us, had a meeting, and we said, yep, great, you guys start having meetings here. And they started a very small church there, and they were there for the first month, and they sent us a check for rent. And we knew there was like 12 of them. And we immediately sent the check back and said, no, we don't want you guys to pay. And the next month, they sent two checks, and they're like, don't take our blessing from blessing you away from us. So they were that kind of church that they're like, we want to care for you, and we want to care for them. We're so excited. We want to see them and help them succeed in this. But we're going to be moving over here. This is going to be a project we're hoping between 3 to 6 months. 6 months long, but we're hoping to knock it out in 3 months. But it's construction, so you never know, right? Right? You just never know. But it'll be very exciting once we are here, completely downtown, because there's a reason we wanted to move to this area. We wanted to be downtown because we wanted to be in a place where we could help the most people, where a food pantry makes the most sense, where people are struggling for food, where we can help the homeless population where there's more of a homeless population, where we can serve community meals where there's need for community meals. Out on the hill, people had to come to us. And we said, no, you know what? Why don't we move everything and come to them? Come where they are, where the people are. This is a pivotal change in our church. It doesn't change who we are. We still have the same mission. But it makes it easier and easier to accomplish, but we can accomplish more because of our location, because of where we are. We're so excited. We know, Shireen knows, I'm like, you're going to be busier with mission outreach when we move downtown. A lot busier. And she goes, I know, but it's what we're supposed to do. I know all of us are going to be a lot busier, but it's right. And we get to be a part of the kingdom. We get to be a part of what God's doing in this community. And we get to come alongside him. I can't think of any greater thing we can do. See, we are called to love people. We are called to love others. In fact, in John 13, it talks about the last commandment Jesus gave his disciples before he was crucified, buried, and raised again. The last commandment he gave them was this. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Our love to others proves that we follow Christ. That is the light that shines in the darkness. That is the light that shines to other people, that gives hope. And it's not us because of us, but it's because what God's already done for us. Just as he has loved us, we should love each other. The key to all of this is love. But it can't be conditional love. It can't be temporary. It has to be love that is the same love that God gives us. Unconditional. Perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. And guess what? We can't do it. But we can continue to strive for it. And with God's help, we can have that love. When God is loving through us and we are simply his conduit for that love, guess what? His true love comes through. His true forgiveness. His true mercy. We want to love others. And loving others is love in action. It's a moving thing. It's not saying it, it's doing it. Love is a choice and love is an action. If I just tell my wife I love her and that's it, that doesn't show love. But if I tell her I love her, I show her I love her, I take time to spend with her because I love her, I build a relationship with her, that's love. That's love. Putting her first before myself. We want to love this community. It's the same thing. Putting others before ourselves. Being selfless, not selfish. Love in action. Being the hands and feet of Jesus. I have heard me say this before, the hands and feet of Jesus. But that's what I want us to be. God says, whenever you did something for the least of these, you did it for me. And whenever you took care of me, you're doing it for them as well. Taking care of the people we're called to take care of is our job. But we can be excited to do that job. We can be ecstatic to do that job. Because when we do it, we're doing it for Christ. We're doing it to Christ. When we feed people, it's as if we fed Christ. When we care for them, it's as if we cared for Christ. And for the creator of the universe that has made it perfect in every way for us to have a relationship with him, that has taken and separated all those divides so now it can just be us and him, what greater way to love him than to love his creation, than to love those he has put in this world to love. So we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to focus on outreach at this church, local and abroad. And over the next couple months, I'm going to be bringing stuff forward that you guys can be involved in. I mean, there's a team going to Oaxaca. There was a team that was just in New York City. There's people who serve on food pantries. But guess what? There's some other things that we're really excited about that are coming up too. Both foreign and local. And I'm going to be bringing those to you in the next month or two, different opportunities for you to get involved and be like, you know what? That's where I want to serve. That's where I want to give. That's how I want to love. I want to reach those people who no one else has. I want to reach those people who no one does. How can I love on them? And so we want to love others going forward as God loves us. Loving others as He unconditionally loves us. This can be a scary time in the world right now. You look at politics, it's a mess on both sides. You look at the world, social media, it seems so negative. You see darkness all around, you see different things, you see all the world seems to be falling apart all the time. People have compared it, saying it's just like Rome was right before their fall, this beautiful society that was ready to crash. And people are talking, it's horrible. And I sit there and go, wonderful, that's beautiful news for us. Why? Because when does the light shine the brightest? When it's in the darkness. When you have something that is not of God, and then you have God, what that is, the love, the hope, the joy, the peace, the comfort that does not exist here at all, shines so much brighter. And if we're in a place right now in a world that is dark and struggling, this is the time for God's light to shine through us. To give ourselves to Him and say, use me as you want me to be used, God. Let this church, let my life be a beacon back to you to show people your love, God. To show people how you love them right where they're at. Not where they will be someday, but right now you love them right where they are. With everything inside you, because you are love. This is where I see for Grace Community Church. This is where I want us to continue to grow. Continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus in every moment, individually and corporately in our lives. Let's go ahead and pray together. God, thank you we could be here today. You say whenever we come together, two or more in your presence, you're there with us also. And we believe it, God. We believe you are here in this moment. God, you have blessed all of us so much. You have given us life. You have given us hope. You have given us forgiveness. But God, you've also given us the gift of life, which has pain and struggles and everything else too. And even that is a gift, God, that we get to experience that so we can see your grace and your mercy in all these things. Lord, I pray that we continue to grow closer to you so that we can be more like you to the world. Lord, I pray that we are your hands and feet. That we are the embodiment of who you are and who you came to show us how we could be. You're perfect in every way, God. And without you, none of it matters. Lord, I pray we bring your light to others. And we let that light shine through us, and they will know that we are your followers, know we are your disciples by how we love others around us. Lord, we pray these things in your holy and blessed name.